system suits the W5VSA repeater. DL-123.
Good evening, folks. QST, this is Marty, WV5Y. It's once again time for another edition of the Houston AmSatNet. This net meets on Tuesdays to discuss topics related to satellites, balloons, and other amateur-related items. This is net number 1624, and it's 8 p.m. Central Time on Tuesday, August 12, 2025, which in UTC time is Wednesday, August the 13th, 2025 at 0100. This is a directed net, and all calls should go through net control. And this net is dedicated to Andy McAllister, W5ACM. Okay, thanks to Joe, W5BSA, for on the 145.19 repeater in West Houston, also on the 443.325 repeater in Katy. Both of those have a PL tone of 123.0. And then there's also the 146.7, and links to other systems and repeaters there. And we've got the AMSAT DMR talk group 98006 when that's working, and along with YSF Fusion 11689, All-Star Node 572580, and Echolink is star AMSAT star. And I will now take any check-ins. Okay, well, we're going to start with our announcement from the South Texas Balloon Launch Team. And, of course, they hold their monthly meeting on the second Wednesday of the month. And that's at 4:30 p.m. here at a local restaurant. And then at 8 p.m. Central Time, they have a meeting over on Zoom. And anyone can participate in that and find out what's going on with the activities over there. And that's over at k5wh.net/Zoom. And we appreciate Walter doing that for us. And he and John, AB5SS, keeping those balloons going up there. So, let's see. Okay, we're going to switch over to the ANS bulletins. And this is from Paul Stotzer. Okay, looks like that's a little bit of an older one there, so we're going to pull up the latest one here. Okay, this is by Mark Johns. This is ANS Bulletin number 222. And, of course, the AMSAT News Service bulletins are a free weekly news and information service of AMSAT, the Radio Amateur Satellite Corporation. ANS publishes news related to amateur radio in space, including reports on the activities of a worldwide group of amateur radio operators who share an active interest in designing, building, launching, and communicating through analog and digital amateur radio satellites. The news feed over on www.amsat.org publishes news of amateur radio in space as soon as our volunteers can post it. So please send any amateur satellite news or reports to ans-editor@amsat.org. And you can sign up for a free email delivery of the AMSAT News Service Bulletin via the ANS list. And to join that list, you go to mailman.amsat.org/Pastorius/lists/ans.amsat.org. Okay, we've got some updates here on golf. Jerry Buxton, N0JY, AMSAT VP of Engineering, received letters from NASA dated July the 12th, announcing changes to the CubeSat Launch Initiative, or the CSLI, program. The letters stated, in part, that as a result of the President's proposed fiscal year 2026 budget, the reduction and realignment of personnel, NASA has fewer resources available to maintain the program as it is currently operating. Based on these program uncertainties, NASA said they have made the difficult decision to discontinue its cooperative work on those missions where launch services have not been manifested. AMSAT's Golf T and the Golf 1 missions are among those that have not been manifested, meaning they have not yet been scheduled for a particular launch. As such, NASA said they will not be able to provide launch opportunities for either of the Golf missions, and there is no expectation that circumstances will change. That's not good news. Looks like we're on at least a three-year hiatus, at least until the president changes. See, upon receiving this news, Buxton brought the matter to the attention of the AMSAT Board of Directors and its Executive Committee, who met on August the 5th. The Board of Directors and committee members unanimously supported continuation of the final development of the Golf Team mission, which is expected to be flight-ready in 2026, then we'll be waiting on a ride. Knowing that being accepted to the CSLI program does not actually guarantee a government-funded launch, AMSAT engineering and operations officials have maintained long-standing relationships with private integrators and launch services. In past years, it might have taken years to schedule a ride on a non-government launch, but in today's competitive market among commercial integrators and launch services, rides for CubeSats can be secured in just a matter of months. Board of Directors and Executive Committee were emphatic that, despite the loss of a government-funded launch, the Golf Team mission should be completed on schedule and will be launched with the resources on hand. Still, the final chapter on this development has not been written. NASA states that the CSLI panel is planning to reconvene in the spring of 2026 to reassess program challenges and opportunities. In concluding his report, Buxton noted that changes in the CSLI program do not affect the timetable for the Fox Plus satellite, since they were never considered for the CSLI program.
This is the W5BS. A repeater.
This is Marty, WV5Y in the Houston AMSAT net. The AMSAT Board of Directors will take further action to ensure the timely launch of its satellite projects at its annual Board of Directors meeting on October 16th through the 17th, immediately before the AMSAT 43rd Annual Space Symposium and Annual General Meeting is being held in Phoenix, Arizona. And we want to thank Jerry Buxton, N0JY, AMSAT VP of Engineering, for that information. Ah, thank goodness for SpaceX. OK, Okay, this is Marty, WV5Y in the Houston AmSat Net. Do you want to remind everybody that you can call and make a quick net by calling 713-467-9870. You can send an APRS message, that's to West Virginia 5 Yankee, with no dashes and no numbers, as Andy used to like to say. And also, you can send an email, and that would be to wv5y@comcast.net.
BL-123.
Okay, we appreciate Bruce, KK5VO, making tonight's URLs available over at our website, which is amsatnet.com. So we appreciate Bruce doing that, and if you'd like to follow along with any of the articles or read them yourself, see them in more detail, you can just click on the links on the website. Okay, your 2025 AmSat President's Club coin is patiently waiting. Celebrating the 40th anniversary of amateur radio on human spaceflight, you can help support the Golf and Fox Plus projects. This looks like more money might be good for getting those suckers up in the air. See, you can join the AmSat President's Club today and help keep amateur radio in space. And the URL is www.amsat.org/join-v-amsat-presidents-club. All right, looks like we're at right at quarter past the hour, just about here. So we're going to take a quick stand by and look around and see who we've got checking in here via some of our other means. Okay, we've got Charlie, K5ENG, over there in West Houston. So we got him checked in. And then WD0AKO up in Moorhead, Minnesota. And he does the backup archiving of the audio for the website, and he did get out of Hawaii before all the action happened, so that was good to hear that he left there about a week before the hurricane and the little tsunami they had over there. We got Vern, WA0RCR, up there in Wentzville, Missouri. And thanks to him, you can hear our net on 1.860 megahertz. And that's full carrier AM, as Vern likes to say, at 5:30 and 9 p.m. Central Time on Saturdays. So we appreciate Vern putting us on the top band in the evening, on the weekend. All right, there's Kai, N6ZZO. He's out there in McKinleyville, California, and he's one of our podcast listeners, and he calls and checks in, so we appreciate that. And let's see, from APRS. Well, looks like we don't have any check-ins. It's been a while. From the Internet Relay Chat System, we've got Ken, AK0A, Clay, KG4OZW, Brian, KG4WIJ, Renee, NZ9T, and Bob, K8WX. Okay, then we got Travis out there, too. I think that might be W8QHD. Okay, let's see. Then from Echolink, we've got Steve, KA5YFC. Good evening to Steve. Okay, we got Mitch, 80HJ. He's out there in Jackson, Minnesota. And, of course, thanks to Mitch, you can participate in the Wednesday night AmSatNet that takes place on DMR. and that's at 9 p.m. Central Time on Wednesday. And that's the DMR AMSAT talk group of 98006 or YSF Fusion 11689. So be sure, and if you're going to be doing any roving, making any grid squares available for satellites, be sure and let those guys know. Okay, good evening to Dave, WB7DRU, up there in Howard Lake, Minnesota, and he's been listening to our net there for decades, so we appreciate that. Back since we were connected via a landline up there to Minnesota. And we got Bob, K9OIM, good evening. And hello to Damien, AG9P, he's up there in Oconto, Wisconsin. Okay, we've got Bruce, KK5VO. He's up there in Roman Forest, north of Houston. And then there's MDOF, N6UTC. And he's up there in Long Beach, California. So I hope he's doing good out there. Okay, this is Marty, WG5Y, in the Houston AMSAT net. The 2025 AMSAT Symposium keynote speaker has been announced. AMSAT has announced that Liam Cheney, an aerospace consultant and founder of Footstep Aerospace by AG3 LLC, will be the keynote speaker at the 43rd Annual AMSAT Space Symposium and Annual General Meeting. It's going to be held on October 16th through the 19th, 2025, in Phoenix, Arizona. In his capacity as an aerospace consultant, Mr. Cheney supports mission integration, strategy, and business development for the space industry. Over the past decade, he has contributed to the successful launch and deployment of numerous CubeSat missions, including many flown through NASA's CubeSat Launch Initiative, CSLI, where he previously served as a mission manager. Mr. Cheney has helped launch multiple AMSAT-supported missions during his time at NASA, TYVAC, and SRI International. Liam also served as the Launch Services Mission Manager for PreFire, which launched in 2024 on back-to-back Rocket Lab Electron flights to study polar heat loss and improve climate modeling. He holds a master's degree in aerospace engineering from Cal Poly, San Luis Obispo, where he authored a thesis on safety standards for CubeSat propulsion systems and contributed to the university's CubeSat program. Liam is a certified project management professional and a member of AMSAT. He lives in Kansas City with his wife and two children, and enjoys astrophotography and craft coffee. All right. So, very good. See, information on symposium registration and hotel reservations can be found at www.amsat.org/43rd-amsat-space-symposium-and-annual-general-meeting. I'm going to thank AMSAT for that information. Okay, this is Marty, WV5Y in the Houston AMSAT net. Hi, do you need new satellite antennas? You can purchase M2 LEO packs from the AMSAT store. And when you purchase through AMSAT, a portion of the proceeds goes towards keeping amateur radio in space. You can just go over to www.amsat.org/product-category/hardware.
DL-123.
Okay, while we're on the subject of the symposium, AMSAT Symposium Call for Papers and Presentations has been announced. Also, registrations and room reservations are now available for the 43rd Annual AMSAT Space Symposium and Annual General Meeting. And it's at the Holiday Inn and Suites, Phoenix Airport North, 1515 North 44th Street, Phoenix, Arizona. And of course, that's October 16th, Thursday through Sunday, October the 19th. Early bird registration remains available until September the 15th at launch.amsat.org/events. Proposals for symposium papers and presentations are invited on any topic of interest to the amateur satellite community. We request a tentative title of your paper or presentation as soon as possible, with a final copy submitted by October the 8th for inclusion in the symposium proceedings. Proposals for presentations at the symposium do not require a paper. Presentations will be recorded and made available on AMSAT's YouTube channel and transcribed and published with its slides in the proceedings. Okay, proposals should be sent to Frank Kanoskis, N1UW, and that's to f.karnauskas@amsat.org. And we'll thank AMSAT for that information. We've got some good news. If you already tried to make a hotel reservation for the AMSAT Symposium and found yourself left out, good news, more rooms have been added. Rooms for the 43rd Annual AMSAT Space Symposium and Annual General Meeting have been going fast, but more are now available at an affordable price of $140 per night plus tax. These rooms will go fast. All rooms at the Holiday Inn and Suites Airport North are two-room suites with a choice of one king bed or two queen beds. Okay, in addition to a free airport shuttle and also free parking, the hotel offers free Wi-Fi, a fitness area, an outdoor pool and hot tub in a large, lovely palm-shaded courtyard, and free hot breakfast for all guests. During the day, it's a great setting for spouses to relax while you're enjoying the symposium presentations. And in the evening, it's the perfect way to relax and enjoy a beverage or snack under the stars in Phoenix. Okay, you can find more information on room reservations at www.amsat.org/43rd-amsat-space-symposium-and-annual-general-meeting. And we want to thank AMSAT for that information. Okay, this is Marty, WV5Y in the Houston AmSatNet. Hey, do you want to fly the colors on your own grid expedition? You can get your AmSat car flag and other Sazzle store. And when you do, 25% of the purchase price of each product goes towards keeping amateur radio in space. And it's right over at www.zazzle.com/AmSat_year. Okay, let's see. NASA's Lunar Trailblazer mission, unfortunately, ended in disappointment. The Lunar Trailblazer mission to the moon officially ended on July the 31st, but it wasn't a complete journey. NASA said on August the 4th that its teams lost contact with the satellite shortly after its launch on February the 26th. The NASA satellite was part of the IM-2 mission by Intuitive Machines, which launched from Kennedy Space Center. The Lunar Trailblazer successfully separated from the SpaceX Falcon 9 rocket as planned about 48 minutes after launch. Operators in Pasadena, California established communication with the satellite, but two-way communication was lost the next day, and the team was unable to recover the connection. From the limited data ground teams received before the satellite went dark, the craft's solar arrays were not correctly positioned toward the sun, which caused its batteries to drain. And the ANS thanks Engadget for that information. You can see the complete story at www.engadget.com/science/NASA-lunar-trailblazer-mission-ends-in-disappointment-20131893.html. And you can also find that link over at amsatnet.com, thanks to Bruce. All right, looks like we're just about at the bottom of the hour here. So we're going to go ahead and take a standby now and see if we have any other check-ins. So any check-ins for the Houston AmSatNet, come now.
Whiskey Delta 5, Juliet Romeo Delta, WZ5, Jared E. Carl, sorry I'm late.
Hey, that's okay, Carl. We're glad to have you aboard. So, late or not, doesn't really matter, that's okay. Okay, of course, you're up there in Jersey Village, and that's WB5JRD, so, let's see, we got anybody else out there. Herbert, are you listening? Well, I know there is all kinds of, alien goodness going on this evening with, the last alien movie that was released is on cable tonight for the first time, as well as the new series that has to do with the alien series is starting as well. So who knows, he might be an alien fan. All right, let's see. We do have some changes to the AmSat North America two-line element distribution for August the 8th. Two-line elements, or TLEs, often referred to as Keplerian elements, or TEPs in the amateur community are the inputs to the SGP-4 standard mathematical model of spacecraft orbits used by most amateur tracking programs. So it's the file that you download every week that updates the location of the satellites and keeps everything in a proper place. Weekly updates are completely adequate for most amateur satellites, and TLE bulletin files are updated daily in the first hour of the UTC day. New bulletin files will be posted immediately after reliable elements become available for new amateur satellites. And you can find more info over at www.amsat.org/Keplerian-elements-resources. And with Ham TV becoming active on the International Space Station, orbital elements are now updated twice daily at 0018 and 1218 UTC.
DL-123.
Okay, the assignments to some of the Tevil 2 satellites have been updated to match object numbers. So the following satellites have been removed from this week's distribution. We've got Forsail-1, NORAD catalog ID 52766. Decayed from orbit on or about the 25th of June, 2025. And we want to thank Joe Fitzgerald, KM1P, the AMSAT Orbital Elements Manager, for that information. Okay, this is Marty, WV5Y, in the Houston AMSAT Net. The AMSAT Remove Before Flight key tags are now available. And they are the real thing. Same thing as what's on the satellites. So they're lovely red, bright red, with white lettering and the AMSAT logo and the name. And your $20 donation goes to help fly a Fox Plus satellite. And it also includes the first class postage for the key tags. But, sorry, only U.S. addresses are included. But you can order today at www.amsat.org/product/amsat-remove-before-flight-keychain. Four new crew members are adjusting to life on the International Space Station and gearing up for several months of microgravity research to benefit humans living on and off the Earth. Meanwhile, another quartet that has been orbiting Earth since March is packing up and handing over responsibilities to the new crew before returning to Earth this week. So right now, the ISS crew has expanded to 11. Expedition 73 expanded to 11 individuals on Saturday, August the 2nd, when NASA's SpaceX Crew 11 mission docked to the orbital outpost aboard the Dragon spacecraft after launching from Florida about 15 hours earlier. Crew 11's commander and pilot, Zena Cardman, KJ5CMN, and Mike Fink, KE5AIT, both from NASA, and mission specialist, Kamea Yui, KG5BPH, from JAXA, the Japan Aerospace Exploration Agency, and Oleg Platonov from Roscosmos, spent the weekend unpacking their Dragon spacecraft, reviewing safety procedures, and getting familiar with space station systems. crew is well trained for its space research program and will soon begin investigating a wide variety of microgravity phenomena to gain insights only achievable in space. They will explore manufacturing high-quality stem cells, alternatives to antibiotics to treat bacterial infections, cell division in plants to promote space agriculture, and more. NASA astronauts Ann McClain and Nicole Ayers, KJ5GWI, along with JAXA astronaut Toyuka Onoshi, KF5LKS, and Roscosmos cosmonaut Kirill Peskov, are helping their new crewmates get up to speed with living and working on the orbital lab. NASA's SpaceX Crew 10 crewmates also will be going home this week aboard another Dragon spacecraft, completing a five-month mission. During their stay in space, the crew studied space-caused mental and physical changes in astronauts, blood flow from the brain to the heart, future lunar navigation techniques, and more. The homebound foursome has spent the last 2 weeks gathering personal items and cargo for loading inside Dragon. Over the next couple of days, Crew 10 will also pack critical research samples stowed in portable science freezers inside Dragon for retrieval and analysis back on Earth. During the final cargo packing and scientific sample stowing duties, the crew will also review departure procedures before entering Dragon and undocking. NASA astronaut Johnny Kim, KJ5HKP, and Roscosmos cosmonauts Sergei Rykunov and Alexei Zubritsky will continue their mission aboard the station and conduct their complement of space research until December. The trio have been assisting with the crew swap activities as Kim helps Sync to learn to work out on the advanced resistive exercise device. Ryzakov showed the Crew 11 foursome the location of emergency hardware and how to use NASA and Roscosmos station hardware. Zubritsky helped Peskov as he tested the lower body negative pressure suit that may counteract space-caused head and eye pressure and help crews adjust quicker to the return to Earth's gravity. Okay, this is Marty, WB5Y in the Houston AmSatNet, and we want to thank NASA for that information. Amateurs and others around the world may listen in on contacts between amateurs operating in schools and allowing students to interact with astronauts and cosmonauts aboard the International Space Station. The downlink frequency on which to listen is 145.800 MHz worldwide. Okay, let's see. Okay, this one's already happened. We had the North Soltanov International Aerospace School, the Republic of Bashkortostan, Russia, direct, and the ISS call sign was R0ISS. The crew member, Sergei Rykunov, Aris Minter, RV3DR, and the contact was Monday, 8-11-2025 at 0745 UTC. All right, the crossband repeater on the International Space Station continues to be active. It's on 145.990 megahertz up with a PL tone of 67, and then the downlink on which you listen is on 437.800 megahertz. And if any crew member is so inclined, all they have to do is pick up the mic, raise the volume up, and they can talk on the crossband repeater. So give a listen. You just never know. You may end up hearing and talking to one of the astronauts. Okay, the packet system on the ISS is also currently active, and it is on 145.825 megahertz up and down. And then our new development here is HAM-TV is configured for scheduled digital amateur television operations, and that's on 2395.00 megahertz is the downlink.
PL-123.
Of course, as always, if there's an EVA, a docking or an undocking, the ARRIS radios are turned off as part of the safety protocol. And all the times we list are approximate, so it's recommended you do your own orbital prediction or start listening about 10 minutes before the times we have listed. And the latest information on the operation mode can be found, and that's over at www.ARRIS.org/current-status-of-ISS-stations.html. Okay, then the latest list of frequencies in use on the ISS can be found, and that's over at www.ARRIS.org/contact-v-ISS.html. And we will thank Charlie Safana, AJ9N, one of the ARRIS operation team mentors, for that information. All right, this is Marty, WV5Y in the Houston AmSatNet. See, we want to remind everybody that you can call and check in with a quick phone check-in, 713-467-9870, an APRS message to WV5Y, and then also the email is WV5Y@comcast.net. And then again, those website addresses, our net, and the information that we have and that we discuss in the presentations are over at amsatnet.com. Thanks to Bruce, KK5VO. He makes available on the front page there with a link. And then you can find a lot more stuff, including satellite award information that Bruce has put up there on our website. Since he is the satellite award guy for AmSat, and then you can find more over at amsat.org. You can also find the status of the satellites, the frequencies they're operating on, and you can find out information about the upcoming symposium. And then there's the store, and you can buy satellite antennas. Okay, be sure and don't forget that www.amsat.org. It's a good resource. All right, we do have some AmSat ambassador activities, and of course what they do is provide presentations, demonstrate communicating through amateur satellites, and host information tables at club meetings, hamfests, conventions, maker fairs, and other events. Okay, AmSat Ambassador Clint Bradford, K6LCS, writes, there's no salary. There's no expense report to hand in to anyone. We just volunteer because we happen to really, really like this aspect of this magnificent hobby. I gave my 183rd Work the Easy Satellites presentation last night to a great club in Minnesota. The Maple Grove Radio Club has been around almost 50 years and have been an ARRL affiliate club almost as long. From the club president, a big thanks to you, Clint, and Karen, for the presentation tonight. It was wonderful, and I appreciate you taking the time on your birthday to present to our club. I know we have a lot of members interested in satellites. I can't wait to get more interested in working satellites. Our club will fire up a tape measure antenna lab session to get a bunch of members making antennas and getting on the air. Okay, very good. He's up to 183 presentations. Okay, we do have some upcoming events. August 16th and 17th is the Huntsville Ham Fest at the Von Braun Center South Hall, and that's at 700 Monroe Street Southwest in Huntsville, Alabama, 35801. August 21st through the 24th, 2025, Northeast Ham Exposition, or HAMX, and also the New England ARRL Convention are both going on at the same time, and that's at the Best Western Royal Plaza and Trade Center, 181 Boston Post Road West, Marlboro, Massachusetts, 01752. And you can just go over to www.hamx.org, and you should see W1EME, WB4ASW, and WB1FJ, all the AMSAT ambassadors there working at the AMSAT booth and providing information. Okay, on September the 6th, 2025, is the Greater Louisville Ham Fest, and that's at the Paraquet Springs Conference Center, 395 Paraquet Springs Drive in Shepherdsville, Kentucky, 40165, and AMSAT Ambassador W4FCL will be there, and of course that's the Director, Bo Lowry, of the AMSAT Ambassador Program, so you can get the inside information and the lowdown scoop there from him. Okay, October the 11th, 2025 is the North Star Radio Convention at the Hennepin Technical College, 9000 Brooklyn Boulevard in Brooklyn Park, Minnesota. 55445, and you can go to https://northstarradio.org, and you'll see Mitch there, 80HJ. Okay, then the big AMSAT symposium meeting, October 16th, 17th, 18th, and 19th. The AMSAT Board of Directors meeting and the 43rd Annual AMSAT Space Symposium and Annual General Meeting at the Holiday Inn and Suites, Phoenix Airport North, and that's at 1515 North 44th Street in Phoenix, Arizona, 85008. And you can find details over at amsat.org/2025-symposium. AMSAT Ambassador Tom Schuessler, K5HYP, writes, "We had a good time showing off amateur radio satellites at the Moon Day space-themed STEM event at the Frontiers of Flight Museum at Dallas Love Field back on July the 19th. They had 980 people through the doors that day. Although, I know we did not see all of them at our exhibit, those we did have a chance to see and understand who we are and what we do via the CubeSat Simulator, Fox model, visualization of satellite orbits, and FM contacts. And we want to thank Bill Lowry, W4FCL, Director of the AMSAT Ambassador Program, for that information. Okay, this is Marty, WV5Y, and the Houston AMSAT Net. Keys Van Osprey, W0AAE, and Nathan Wood, K4NHW, and a variety of internet remote operators will be activating the Frying Pan Tower Lighthouse, which is at fttower.org, located 32 miles off the coast of North Carolina, in Grid Square FM 13FL. That's going to be from August the 7th through August the 11th.
DL-123.
Hey, it looks like that just happened, so I hope they had a good special event over there. The special event call sign, and didn't stay there long enough for that approaching hurricane. Let's see, the special event call sign for the trip was K4F/MM. Oh, I worked them on HF. Primary objective is to establish a permanent internet-connected remote station equipped with a Flex 6400, an in-fed half-wave antenna, and an 80-meter vertical. This remote station will be used by both youth operators and serve as a platform for propagation experiments in a saltwater-rich environment. K4F/MM will be active on all bands from 160 to 6 meters, as well as on satellite, both FM and linear, and terrestrial VHF, FM, and single sideband throughout the duration of the trip. For information, you can email W0AAE and ARRL.kvan@gmail.com. Or he was over on Instagram. And that's www.instagram.com/fpthamradio. And ANS thanks Keith Van Osprey, W0AAE, for that information. Okay, Ham Radio Prep is offering an online course, Satellite and Space Operations, at an early bird special price of $59 U.S. if enrolled by August the 15th. Okay, that gives you still a couple of days left on that one. And you can see hamradioprep.com/satellite-and-space-operations for details, or you can click on the link over at amsatnet.com. There, thanks to Bruce, and we want to thank Ham Radio Prep for that information. Okay, NISAR, the $1.5 billion joint NASA ISRO, the Indian Space Research Organization mission, launched last week from India's Satish Dhawan Space Center on a GSLV rocket, becoming the first satellite collaboration for the two agencies.
W5BSA repeater.
Carrying a 12-meter wide antenna on a 9-meter boom, NISAR will map the planet's surface twice every 12 days with two different SAR bands. L-band with an instrument from JPL, good at moisture, biomass, and land motion detection, and S-band from ISRO, good at sensing changes to agriculture, grassland ecosystems, and infrastructure. Combined, these measurements will provide change detection at centimeter resolution and be invalid land motion, like what happens with earthquakes, landslides, and volcanic activity, ice shelves, erosion, as well as forest and wetland ecosystems. NISAR has a 747-kilometer SSO and is expected to generate 80 terabytes of data products per day. Okay, we want to thank the Orbital Index for that information. And you can see the complete article over at orbitalindex.com/archive/2025-08-06-issue-330. Okay, NASA's Artemis II Orion spacecraft completed a short but important journey August the 10th at the agency's Kennedy Space Center in Florida. The spacecraft fueling complete, technicians moved Orion to the next facility on its path to the launch pad. Transported Orion from Kennedy's Multi-Payload Processing Facility, the MPPF, where it has been months for flight, to the Launch Abort Systems Facility, the LASF. There, engineers with NASA's Exploration Ground Systems Program will integrate the escape system atop the crew module. On arrival to the MPPF in May, where technicians fueled and processed Orion, loading propellants, high-pressure gases, coolant, and other fluids necessary for the spacecraft and crew to carry out their 10-day journey around the moon and back. The Artemis II crew also took part in multiple days of tests inside Orion in the MPPF, donning their Orion crew survival system spacesuits and entering their spacecraft to test all the equipment interfaces they will operate during the mission. Inside the LASF, Orion will be integrated with its 4-foot tall launch abort system made up of two segments, the launch abort tower, including the abort, jettison, and attitude control motors, and the fairing assembly, including the ogive panels that protect the crew module and provide aerodynamic support during launch. The system is designed to carry the crew to safety in the event of an emergency atop the SLS, the Space Launch System rocket. Once integration is completed, the entire Orion stack will be transported to High Bay 3 in NASA's Kennedy Vehicle Assembly Building, where it will be connected to its Moon rocket. The Artemis II test flight will send NASA astronauts Reid Weissman, Victor Glover, and Christina Koch, and CSA, or Canadian Space Agency astronaut Jeremy Hansen around the moon and return them safely back home. The mission is the first crewed flight under NASA's Artemis campaign. Artemis will return Americans to the lunar surface and help the agency and its commercial and international partners prepare for future human missions to Mars. Okay, you can join AMSAT today by going to launch.amsat.org. In addition to regular membership, AMSAT offers membership to societies, which is a recognized club, group, or organization. Primary and secondary school students are eligible for membership at one-half the standard yearly rate, and post-secondary school students enrolled in at least half-time status shall be eligible for the student rate for a maximum of 6 post-secondary years in the status. And memberships are available for annual and lifetime terms. You can contact info@amsat.org for additional membership information. 73, and remember to help keep amateur radio in space. And that's from this week's ANS editor, Mark Johns, K0JM. And that's mjohns@amsat.org. Okay, I hope everybody enjoyed this week's version of the Houston AmSatNet. Stay safe out there. Keep playing with those radios and making lots of satellite contacts. And we look forward to catching everybody next week. So from Andy, W5ACM, Bruce, KK5DO up there in Roman Forest, and myself, Marty, WV5Y in Northwest Houston, we say 7-3 for this week from the Houston AmSatNet.
DL-123.